Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Coming up, what's this about preventing the child from going blind? Well, pick your sides on this one. It's the battle of the capricious versus the premature. And it turns out the apocalypse really is coming, only it's not the Walking Dead we should fear. We'll forewarn, hopefully you'll survive, on episode 226 of the Serotalk Podcast.
Bringing you the best in mainstream and assistive technology developments, news, and analysis. This is the Serotalk Podcast, a service of Serotech Corporation, makers of Accessibility Anywhere, iBlink Radio, and Remote Incident Manager. Visit us online at www.serotech.com. And now, here's your host, Joe Orozco.
Well, welcome to Serotalk 226. I am Joe Orozco.
I'm Katie Frederick.
And I'm Lane Amaro.
And this is the controversy of the week. The five reasons why getting a guide dog is a terrible idea.
Yeah, you better explain that, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you wrote it, so you get the first word.
Well, no, as I point out in the article, I'm contemplating returning for another dog. This would be my second dog after my first one passed away 3 years ago. And I bring up some points that I think some people don't acknowledge. The fact that, one, it's expensive. Two, it can be inconvenient. Three, time-consuming. Four, it draws unwelcome attention. And finally, it's dirty work. Are these reasons not to get a dog? No, obviously. I think it's a fantastic experience if you go for it. And those are the people that I think are committed. No one's going to read the article. I'm not so pretentious as to think that someone's going to read my blog post and be like, you know what? I'm not going to get a dog.
I think you do bring up some good points, though, that for people who may be considering this, the dog lifestyle, need to be aware of that, you know, what they're getting into. I'm on my second dog, and when I got my first dog, I did fully understand that caring for that dog would be my responsibility. And to me, it's never been, I've not seen it as inconvenient or time consuming. I fit it into my daily routine and it works out fine for me. But each person has their own points of view. And I think that this article lays out things that really everyone needs to consider when they're thinking about getting a dog.
I think the title has been the driving force behind the controversy, I guess. It's kind of a negative title and it comes off pretty aggressive. So I think people have taken that, got their backs up, and there are quite a few, you know, well, in response to yours, there have been several people who have pointed out the very positive, you know, all the positives about getting a guide dog, including another blogger.
Yes, and this person wrote about how they have a dog and they, again, don't mind the things that they need to do to take care of the dog, but as they said, you know, their dog will help them safely navigate to and from their home in the 3 inches of snow that they have on the ground. And so this author was focusing more on the aspect of why owning a dog for them is a positive experience and focusing more on how owning the dog helps them be more independent.
I think, you know, it's important to understand dog psychology, and I would recommend a couple of books for people, whether you have a guide dog or not. I mean, it's helpful reading if you have a pet. Honestly, those books are Culture Clash by Jean Donaldson and The Other End of the Leash by Patricia McConnell. Both books are available in Bookshare if you're a subscriber, and they really go into detail about animal behavior and explaining how do you get a dog to not relieve itself of the house? How do you get a dog not to jump on you? Which I think brings up some good points for a dog user, because in a training environment at school, you don't get that. And I think a lot of that, you know, there's only so many hours in a day that instructors can touch on every aspect of handling a dog. But I also think that there are situations where people put so much reliability on their animal that they forget that it's still a dog. You can train it as much as you want, but it's still a canine. It's still going to look at the squirrels. It's still going to get distracted. And it's a question of how do you react to that when it happens?
I think that another area where people who are thinking of getting a dog or have a dog need to be concerned and aware of is access issues. We have an article here in the show notes about a lawsuit that has been filed in Washington, D.C. against several cab companies for refusing to take passengers who use service dogs. And it's unfortunate that this is occurring in the year 2015, 25 years after the ADA has been passed. But it again goes to show that there is still some education to be done and some public awareness to take place around access issues.
And I think that's another area that might get glossed over in some of the training, because again, you have so many hours in the day and so many things you can cover that may get kind of glossed over a little bit in training as well, especially in the shorter programs where there's even less time.
Yeah, I mean, some programs are lasting about 2 weeks, so it's, you know, again, there's only so much that can be talked about, and advocacy is one of those things that you have to learn in the moment. There is no proper way to experience going into a restaurant and having someone yell at you that no dogs are allowed on the premises, or in the case of this lawsuit, having several taxis drive past you. It is worth pointing out that this doesn't happen all the time. So definitely don't not get a dog because you think that people are going to refuse you access to public facilities. There's still a lot of work to be done about educating people, but
we've come a long way too.
Yeah. And in the 7.5 years that I had Gator, I can count the number of times, you know, where I had issue.
I'm glad someone can, because I can no longer count. I go into restaurants anticipating that discussion and that education. And I've been working dogs for about 5 years now. So maybe just a geographical difference, maybe. But
maybe, because I've had dogs for 14 and I too can count on one hand the number of times I've had issues, but maybe something to look into. I know that the school that I've gone to for my dogs provides a little information card that says, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act entitles this dog and handler to have access to public places. Maybe that's something that if other schools don't, maybe they might want to think about providing something like that to their graduates or helping with some of that more public awareness as we discussed earlier.
And it also comes to the handler to remember your graduate services are there for you and for a reason. That's the kind of thing, once you go home, the seeing eye, the trainers often tell us that being at training with your dog is like going to high school and going home is like going to college. It's the real world experience. And the schools have graduate services for you for a reason. So speak up if your schools are dropping the ball in that regard too. A lot of that does come back to the schools and the organizations that are training these animals and the handlers.
Absolutely. So if you were offended by my article, I'm not going to go so far as to say that I apologize. I don't. I think that the points needed to be raised, and I wasn't going for traditional marketing, you know. However, I will say that the experience can be fantastic. One of my clearest memories with my first dog was getting off an airplane and getting to the curbside on what I would consider to be autopilot. And there's such a feeling of total independence that is really inexplicable. You have to experience it for yourself, but also with the caveat, you know, it is a lot of work to have a dog, and people sometimes give anthropomorphic qualities to their animals, but I feel like sometimes it's almost warranted. I don't go around babying my dog, but they become such a part of you that it's, but you have to work at maintaining that bond.
Well, do you really need a dog though, Joe? There's so many cures on the horizon. We could just fix it and then you won't even need a dog.
This is true.
There was an article this week about a retinal prosthetic that is supposed to help people with retinitis pigmentosa preserve the vision and the retinal cells that they do have. Researchers in Japan have created an implant, a plastic implant with a dye that would be surgically placed below the retina, and the dye activates existing retinal cells to help transmit data to the brain and help with visual processing. The implant has shown some promising results in rodents, and it looks as though it not only preserves vision, but it also protects the retinal cells from further degeneration. So, I don't know, would you put your life on hold for something like that?
I think that if the opportunity, I do not have RP, I have retinopathy of prematurity, ROP, but I think if the opportunity came up where I could possibly get more vision back, honestly, I don't know that I would take it. I currently have light perception, and I'm very grateful to have that. And I don't know that I would want to lose the little bit I can see. And also, I think having been blind all my life, I think it would be a very sensory overload type of experience. And not that I couldn't adjust, but I just don't think I would feel as confident. I think I would feel a lot more overwhelmed about daily interactions.
Be a reverse adjustment.
Yeah. I mean, just the process of reading, right, would be a total change from
absolutely
tactile. So, I mean, the whole question about vision restoration is an interesting one. Part of the reason why I hesitate about the dog is because I think I am having a quasi knee-jerk reaction to the fact that I will soon lose what little sight I have left, and I have glaucoma. And I'm not going to lie, you know, there are moments when I sit down and think about it, you know, really think about what it will be like not to be able to contrast sidewalk from grass, you know, not to be able to see traffic lights, you know, things that at the moment I think I take for granted. And I feel like, well, a dog will solve that. And a dog will not solve that. A dog is just another way to avoid the inevitable. So my philosophy on blindness has always been a positive one. My parents were hard asses and never cut me slack on account of, you know, losing sight as I got older. But it's one thing to talk about independence and quite another thing to live it, which is the subject of this article by Edward Bell. Dr. Bell brings up this article for parents of blind children. And he says, you know, the bad news in blindness is that eventually you realize that there are no other options. The doctors have done everything they possibly can. Blindness, I was told, would be cured in 20 years. And 20 years later, I'm still waiting, he writes. And, you know, he brings up the truth that there are thousands of blind people leading normal lives. Blindness, as he points out, with proper training and education, can be reduced to little more than a nuisance. And kind of finishes off with a few reality checks, I guess you would call them. Refusing to talk about blindness does not make it go away. Better vision does not mean better employment. Making a font bigger and bolder does not mean a kid is a better reader. And, you know, you can read the rest of the article for this, but it's a tough sell for a parent who, you know, when someone sighted thinks about what it's like to lose their sight, it's a psychological freeze. Like, oh my gosh, I can't function.
It is. I know for my parents, even they had a tough time adjusting to my blindness. And they, you know, luckily were connected with some great support systems when I was at an early age. But, you know, I think it does take time, and it does take some networking and support. And I also think that it is good to let your children have as many experiences as possible when they are young so that they can grow up and become as independent as possible.
Yeah, you know, there may someday be a cure, but you got to you're living in the moment. And how, for parents, you know, how much of the child's life are they missing because everybody's holding out for that cure? Just think of the quality of experiences. I remember I have retinitis pigmentosa, and at 5 years old being terrified at the ophthalmologists because of all the electrodes and all the test equipment that they were sticking all over my body and I can't remember what they're called. That's how bad they scared me. Contact lenses with a little electrodes on them to test the responsiveness of my retinal cells. You know, for a kid, that's absolutely terrifying. So at what point as a parent do you say, you know, just it is what it is and live in the moment, or put them through these tests to try to fix them? And there's a very tough balance between just accepting and having a positive attitude about your current situation and just living with it and holding out for a cure.
Well, we are going to take a short break. When we get back, we've all heard about targeted internet ads, but what about targeted TV commercials? And who's being premature and capricious? We'll find out on the other side of the break.
Hey guys, this is AZ inviting you to check out the latest addition to the Serotalk Podcast Network, The Rundown. Coming to you straight from the sports desk, we're going to cover all the headlines in the sports world. From the MVP chase in the NBA, all the free agent changes in the NFL, and all the drama in the WWE, we got you covered. Join us each and every week for The Rundown here on the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Is your life digital?
Nope.
Is it accessible?
Uh-uh.
Is it digital and accessible?
No way.
Let's change that.
This is the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Well, welcome back to Serotalk 226, and these are some of your recent headlines.
We start off this week by an article that says half of Android users may be vulnerable to an attack. There's a flaw with Android. There have been patches released by Google, Amazon, and Samsung to correct this issue, but it could still be impacting people who use Android devices running 4.2 and 4.3. Those with 4.4 should be okay. Palo Alto Networks, the company who found this flaw, has created an app that people can install to determine if they are affected. And essentially, this has impacted apps that have been downloaded through a third-party app store. So not those apps that use the Google App Store or Amazon App Store. So those third-party app stores that people sometimes use on Android. So word of caution, just be careful where you download those apps from.
Google's 425 million Gmail users will have the option to pay their bills through their Gmail interface at the end of 2015. The rumor has it that the service, being called Pony Express, will allow Gmail users to provide their name, address, and social security number to a third party that will connect Gmail to all of their bill services. It's not yet clear exactly what Google plans to do with all of the data that they could collect, and considering the security flaws on the Android side, that makes it a little bit of a concern.
Well, some of those bills that you might find yourself paying could come from products you buy from targeted commercial ads. Google Fiber customers in Kansas City will soon see commercials based on location and viewing habits. This will give advertisers a better way of what to show and when to show it. Customers can opt out of the viewing history feature for advertisement purposes. This new feature is expected to roll out in Kansas City come April.
Well, if you're an Apple TV subscriber, you likely will not see any of those targeted ads on your set-top box, but you may be able to watch TV shows from leading cable providers. Apple is currently having talks with industry leaders in the cable industry, according to this article, and they are proposing an internet-based service for iDevices and the Apple TV. And this service could potentially be announced later this year and would offer cheaper and smaller channel bundles than what would be found with a traditional cable subscription. This could include content from channels such as ABC, CBS, Fox, ESPN, Disney, and the Discovery Channel. The pricing right now is unclear, but prices could range from $20 to $30 per month.
Well, while Apple is working on streaming television to U.S. customers, Netflix, another startup called iFlix, and a partnership between Warner Brothers, Sony, and a third party, are all expanding into the Asia Pacific. Netflix plans to branch out to 200 countries by 2017 and started in Australia and New Zealand, where they are offering a limited streaming service while they continue to obtain release rights in the region.
Who needs Netflix when you can get premium YouTube? Vessel is the name of this new online video subscription service, and it's being started by former Hulu CEO Jason Kilar. The service is launching with more than 150 popular creators, each of whom brings more than a million followers to their name. You can pay $2.99 a month for the privilege of watching videos 72 hours before the rest of the world. Not sure if this is something you want to check out? Well, there's a 30-day free trial that you can check out. The service is currently available on the web and on your iOS device.
And speaking of things that offer a free trial, there is a new app out called VelaSense. It's been launched by Visus Technology, and it uses smartphones with advanced sensors and camera technology for this app to help people who are blind or visually impaired take pictures of things, scan barcodes, and read money, to name a few features. This is offered to Verizon customers on their 4G network, and also Android 4.3 is required for this app to work. There is a free 30-day trial. After that, the cost is $14.95 per month.
The Microsoft Disability Access Desk for customer support for persons who have disabilities or who utilize Windows accessibility ease of access options has been receiving positive feedback and has recently been expanded to 11 countries. The United States, United Kingdom, South Africa, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand can all access the disability desk by phone or by text chat, and customers in Hong Kong, the Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and India can now access the service from Microsoft by phone.
Well, with a global expansion like that, you might need NVDA remote access to communicate with other computers. The new add-on is compatible with multiple remote desktop protocols, is able to run from a thumb drive, and features encrypted communication. There is an Indiegogo campaign for the development of the free product. As of March 25th, the developers had raised $12,307. Now, if you have not donated yourself, the campaign is closing on April 21st, so there's plenty of time for you to pitch in.
And after you donate to the great cause of NVDA, how about jumping on over to check out the latest issue of AFB's Access World, featuring articles such as the one we're linking to in the show notes about the Phonak Compilot, the necklace of sound. This may be a product of interest for people who are deafblind or hard of hearing, and it is a wearable technology that works with the Phonak hearing aids, and it's a necklace-type device that helps bridge the gap between hearing aids and portable devices. So feel free to check this out, as well as all of the other awesome articles in the latest issue of AFB's Access World.
Well, there is an update to the Amazon Prime Music app for Amazon Prime subscribers on iOS that boasts improvements to the way that suggestions are displayed and introduces the Prime Stations feature, which has been available on Amazon Echo, as well as the PC and Mac desktop applications for several months. This is a service similar to Pandora or iTunes Radio, in which you get a customized station based on your preferences. Your preferences are determined by how often you interact with the app and how you interact. You can thumb up or thumb down particular songs or artists. Voiceover users, beware that you may experience some unexpected voiceover behavior in the app, and the thumb up, thumb down buttons are currently not labeled.
Well, while Amazon is creating music, you'd be hard-pressed to find harmony between the FCC and the telecom industry. AT&T and Verizon are among the first to bring a lawsuit against the FCC over the recent net neutrality ruling, which reclassifies broadband providers as common carriers and imposes rules against blocking online content. The plaintiffs in the case say, quote, "The ruling is arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion." The FCC in turn says the lawsuit is, quote, "premature and subject to dismissal." And that's a wrap on some of your recent headlines. And on the other side of the break, a father uses technology to be a part of a life-changing event, and the apocalypse is nigh. But this time, it's not zombies. When we return on the Sarah Talk Podcast.
Hi, this is Joshua Loya. I, along with Hope Hovenmeyer and John Panarese, host Triple Click Home, your source for everything Apple on the Sarah Talk Podcast Network. We have a really good time and try to learn a few things as we go along. You can check out our show by subscribing via iTunes, listening with the iBlink Radio app, or by visiting our website, www.tripleclickhome.com. We would love it if you'd join us for our latest episode. Thank you for listening.
Well, welcome back to Sarah Talk 226. I want to thank you so much, and do listen to that Triple Click Home. Also, I want to send a shout out to Hope Povenmeyer, who put out her inaugural episode of What's Up, which covers all manner of new books added to Audible, Kindle, and some of the new content over on Samnet. So, by all means, get to it.
Well, and speaking of Audible, I gotta tell you guys, I'm pretty wrapped up in A Fox and O'Hare Mystery by Leigh Goldberg and Janet Ivanovich this week, called The Job. This series is kind of an FBI comedy series. It's, if anybody's read the Stephanie Plum novels by Janet Ivanovich, it's that same kind of dry comedy wrapped up in the FBI thriller style of writing. So in this current book, their shenanigans have almost gotten them caught stealing gold that was recovered from a ancient shipwreck. And gosh, the FBI agent just barely escaped being tortured by a drug dealer's bodyguard. So very, been pretty intense. That
Lane has a crush on the protagonist. She's been talking about him all week. What's his name? Nick?
Nick Fox. Yes.
See, he even has Nick a foxy Fox. Name, right?
So. Yes. Janet Ivanovich knocks it out of the park again with her descriptions and bringing that character to life. And the Audible narrator definitely adds to that
Is it a guy
image reading? That's, yeah, it is a guy reading.
Okay. Explains it. Well, audiblepodcast.com/Sarah Talk is where you can find that. And I bet your little crush there probably would never be accused of doing this, not being there for the birth of his child.
Well, he's there and he's at work at the same time. Virtual reality recently made it possible for a father to be virtually present for the birth of his third child, as his job required him to be away during that time. The family set up video cameras in the birthing suite, and the father was able to, using virtual reality glasses, participate in the big event with his wife, if you want to call it that. So I kind of think he's a jerk. I can't think of a single job in the world that would require you to be away from your wife for the birth of your child, but apparently they exist.
Well, there could be some for, you know, military or people who are in law enforcement who are in locations where they're, you know, if they left, that would put others in harm's way, or they just, because of the nature of their job, aren't able to get away. So I think this technology is a good thing for those who, because of really extenuating circumstances, cannot be there when they want to be.
The technology opens up some other opportunities, too, for just about anything.
I was thinking about games. That's kind of the first thing that came to mind. Papa Sangre is that audio game that apparently the two of you have not played. And Katie,
no, but
have
I
it
will
on
after
phone.
This podcast.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic game. And the other one you told me about, Zombie Run, which again is an audio game. And the idea is that you're supposed to like run around and, you know, really get into the game. So I'm totally downloading that this weekend.
Zombies chase you. Beware, fantastic. Joe. The zombies will chase you.
Yeah, but I mean, in a orientation and mobility context, though, I can see how something like virtual reality could be a benefit. There are multiple universities that have undertaken studies that look at how can you recreate a mental image of a place to orient the person before they get there. And I mean, I think we've all made use of these mental maps. You know, you get into a building and you kind of visualize where things are. And who's to say that we can't use audio or haptic feedback or other senses to recreate environments.
And it could go one of two ways. I mean, it could create the opportunity for people, like myself, who experience anxiety about new places. It would give me that opportunity to explore and to plan like I want to explore a new environment. It could also give others an excuse to stay home. Why should I go to France when I can sit here on my computer and or with my virtual reality tools and have this a similar experience? So, and it could be a situation in which the technology brings people together, encourages people to get out more, or it could do the opposite and continue to degrade our sense of community and personal interaction in the world.
Well, another thing that could degrade is our very existence. Steve Wozniak, of all people, and this kind of surprised me, is of the opinion that in the future, artificial technology is a scary prospect. Very bad news for people. We should all be getting a little nervous, he says. The robot apocalypse is brewing. And it's not just Steve Wozniak. Actually, Stephen Hawking and Bill Gates are other proponents of this theory. Raymond Kurzweil, whom we're all familiar with, believes machine intelligence will surpass human intelligence within the next few decades. So for me, that's kind of intriguing, you know, but I'm kind of the psycho who likes apocalyptic fiction. And what do you guys think about this?
I find the concept intriguing in terms of the artificial intelligence, in terms of a technology aspect. But I think that people are having to create this technology too. So that's also taking some of their creativity and talent and expertise to come up with these devices. But I do think there is a balance in not to let the technology take over one's life, but to also realize that this technology can offer benefits to make people's lives easier. And I'm not just talking about the vacuum that will clean your floor. I mean, yes, that's a nice convenience, but you know, for some people, some of this technology is doing really neat stuff, like allowing them to move and interact with body parts that they, you know, previously haven't been able to in terms of artificial limbs and things like that. So I really think, again, kind of going back to the virtual reality, this too can go both ways.
And this whole thing is the technology kind of taking us over. That almost implies that the technology is going to develop a personality.
Like Siri? Siri has some personality.
Well, okay, this
Siri's is Siri's not a person.
But she's...
You know what? Siri is my friend.
Well, you're friends with a computer then.
It takes it that one step further, though, and assumes that the technology is going to develop a personality. And there's still got to be a human's personality behind that technology taking over.
Well, if you think about the complexity, you know, the algorithms that go into creating some of these machines, it's mind-blowing. The way an airplane can really fly itself. I know that pilots are definitely still in control, still take off and land and whatnot, but a computer could do that by itself. We don't do it because there are regulations, and if there were an accident, there'd be an uproar. But if you consider the driverless car concept, I mean, that's another form of technology. But I think, uprisings aside, I think it's a cold reminder for us that the jobs that we can count on at the moment may not be here in a few decades. And so it's going to necessitate education for us to keep pace. Because uprising doesn't necessarily have to be that robots are stomping us, right? It can be that we're just unemployed. So there's even, actually, I just read about this a couple of weeks ago, there's now technology that can write articles. And really, at the point that you start writing articles, it's very limited at the moment. I think it has a span of about 6,000 words, but it can intelligently take keywords and write full sentences from it with perfect
grammar.
Where
was that when I was in college?
No kidding.
Right. You would have put the writing center out of business. What are you talking about? But, you know, when you start to consider that, it's not so far-fetched, you know, that we need to get educated. Maybe college isn't the answer, which I happen to believe in. It isn't the answer for everyone. But it's, you know, vocational training. It's your online courses. Any of these educational opportunities, you know, please, please get out there. Stay educated. You know, I have a master's, which sometimes I feel like it isn't enough because technology just keeps on evolving so fast. And as blind individuals, you know, we do have to work a little bit harder to stay on top of it, not only because of the technology itself, but because of its accessibility. So fantastic. That brings us to the mailbag. And I want to thank you so much for sending in your comments, your eye reports, and we really appreciate it when you guys step up to the plate and help each other out.
Yes, our first note this week comes to us from Brad, and we'll post this email in the show notes. It's a very nice note. Thank you, Brad. He mentions that he loves the quick headlines and short commentary on the tech issues, as well as the human interest pieces. Brad has taken the leap and cut the cord, and he's been very happy with his results. He finds that he gets plenty of access to media through sources such as NFB Newsline, Twitter, and SamNet, and that satisfies his media needs. And he says to try cutting the cord. If you don't like it or it doesn't work, he's sure the cable company will be more than happy to resubscribe you. And he ends by saying, keep up the good work here. I know that these podcasts don't form without a lot of behind-the-scenes work that we can take for granted while listening. So keep it up. And we really appreciate that, Brad. Thank you for writing in to us.
All right. Next is a note from Janine. And I would encourage everyone to read this. Janine does a much better job of sharing her experience than I could. But Janine had some comments on the discussion of the portrayal of disability in media, and particularly in entertainment, that was discussed in episode 225. She also shares her thoughts on disability simulation and her experience in how living with a disability is very different from just a simulation of one. So, Janine, thank you so much for participating in the conversation, and I appreciate your perspective and your experience. Also, on the topic of disability portrayal in the media, we have a note from Lynn. He is a blind actor and a director, and shares his experience in a note that will also be available for you to take a look at. So thank you both for participating in that discussion.
Absolutely. We're actually looking to hopefully get Lynn on a Serotalk Extra. Mike Calvo is a big fan of his, as he's an engaging speaker. So thank you, Lynn, for writing in. And actually, I didn't even occur to me, we're talking about actors with disabilities the other week, but Switched at Birth and Seventh Heaven actually featured deaf actresses.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that totally skipped in my mind, but they're out there, and you know, the both shows were highly acclaimed, you know, got good ratings. So there you go. We do have this comment from Ken, who in response to Janine about an alternative to the Samsung Haven, offers the Samsung Gusto, which was apparently reviewed by the folks over at the NFB. He also recommends the Kyocera Dura XV, and we will offer that email in the show notes, as well as a link to a review of the Samsung. So thank you, Ken, for pitching in there.
This week, we have a couple of iReports to share with you. This first one from Chris.
Hi, Serotalk team. This is Chris Nussbaum. I would first like to congratulate you on relaunching the podcast. I'm very much enjoying it and enjoying the new team. It's, of course, something to get used to, but you guys are doing a great job and keep up the good work. I would like to answer a question about the NPR iPhone app and whether it offers feeds for local stations. If you download the NPR News app on your iOS device, which is very, very accessible and usable with VoiceOver, you can access feeds for any NPR member station across the country. And you can do this by searching for stations by their call letters or letting it use your current location and pick the locals, the station closest to you using your iPhone's current location or by using a city and state search. Thank you again for the podcast and the great information you provide. And I'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Chris, for your comments. I have the NPR app on my phone as well, and it is very accessible with VoiceOver. And it is, again, another good way to receive local and national media on an iDevice for those who, again, may be thinking of cutting the cord or just out and about and want access to NPR stations. Thank you for that iReport.
And our next iReport comes from Ben, who has some suggestions for anybody considering cutting their telephone cord or switching to a more accessible phone.
Hello, this is Ben calling in from Spokane, Washington. Anyway, I just want to give a comment on CellTalk 225. You guys did an excellent job. I really enjoyed these stories, the stories discussed. And I listened to Joshua Loya's coverage of CSUN, and I highly recommend that people listen to it because I thought he did a really nice job and a very informative job, and I just learned a lot from all the different vendors that he spoke with. And then also, too, I also have a suggestion for Janine. She could, as far as cell phones are concerned, if she did not want to go with the iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, then she could go with the new Moto E, which came out, which is $150 off contract. And it has 8 gigs of storage. And it sounds, from what I've heard about it, like a very nice phone. And it's also very durable as well. So if she did drop it, it would survive any drops or, you know, if she, you know, accidentally dropped it on the sidewalk, there's a pretty good chance it'd survive that. And so she could, you know, look at the Moto E, and then also, too, she could look at the Moto G, which I believe the 8 gigs, $179 off contract, and then the 16 gigs, $200 off contract. So both of those phones she could look at if she wants a smartphone.
Thank you, Ben, for that report. We appreciate it.
Fantastic. Well, we want to thank you so much for sending in those comments. Please do keep them coming. So much of your feedback helps shape the kind of stories that we cover. So if you have any suggestions for either the regular episodes or the extras, send us your comments. Well, Lane, Katie, I want to thank you guys again so much for coming in on this very late Thursday evening and sharing a little bit of your time with us.
My pleasure.
Absolutely.
And we want to thank you for listening. If you want to send us your comments, that email address is resources@serotalk.com. You can tweet them at @serotalk or use that convenient iBlink radio app to send us an iReport. Please be aware that your comment could be aired in the next episode. The Serotalk podcast is a production of the Serotech Corporation. We want to thank Audible again for their sponsorship of the podcast. We also want to thank Patrick Perdue for being the audio engineer behind today's episode. And thank you. I am Joe Orozco. We'll do this again next time on the Serotalk podcast. Thank you for listening.